God is with you.
Also with you.
This is a story of instructions taken from the Gospel of John. Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever loves me will keep my word, and Abba God will love them. And we will come to them and make our dwelling place in them. Whoever does not love me and does not keep my words, and yet the word you hear is not mine, but it is that of Abba God who sent me. I have told you this while I am with you. The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom Abba God will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you what I told you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives peace do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or be afraid. You heard me tell you, I am going away and I will come back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice that I am going to Abba God. For Abba God is greater than I. And now I have told you this before it happens, so when it happens, you may believe." People of God, hear what the Spirit is saying. This homily that I'm giving is directed at me. And as I was reading and going through it, it just challenged me. And I hope it opens the door and challenges maybe some of you as well with it. Richard Rohr emphasizes that inner transformation is necessary for the work of peace. Rohr says, "The gospel is not about being nice. It's about being honest and just. And the world does not like those two things very much. Our job is to learn to be honest, but with love and respect." I'd really struggle with that. Let's see why we go on. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. taught us that before we witness to justice, we have to make sure that we can love and respect those with whom we disagree. Listen to what he's saying. Before we can witness to justice, we have to make sure that we can love and respect those with whom we disagree. Yeah, I had to drop the cup too.
Sorry.
I mean, those are challenging words. I mean, I think of the people who I disagree with and who I want to call them all kinds of names. So, imagine peace. Imagine that kind of inner work, that kind of peace. Imagine what that takes, a surrender that is necessary for those who are oppressed and even ourselves. Think about people who have been oppressed for hundreds of years. We go back to slavery, what that was about. We go back to what happened in India with the British government taking over there. We go back to all the wars going on in Africa. We begin to take a look at even our own country built on violence. And that's not easy stuff to be thinking about. I don't know how anyone can accomplish any kind of thinking without contemplation, without that kind of imagination. How do we go deep into what we want to do? Because what I want to do is I want to expose it. I want to humiliate them. I want to defeat them. That's what I want to do. But to expose and humiliate and defeat our opponents is not what peace is all about. I mean, think about what that second reading was. Paul didn't go back there saying, "Hey, you fools, what are you talking about? Doing this and that. We're supposed to be one. And here are the basics." And they came together and talked with each other, respecting each other. The trouble is, when I'm hurt, my tendency is to hurt back. And that's the ego's natural defense mechanism. It comes from our amygdala. You know, that small part of our brain that has a big job of protecting us. Mm-hmm. It's that fight, flight, or freeze tendency. And the problem with it is not rational. It just knows I need to protect myself in that. But if I don't understand how important it is, and if I don't understand what the amygdala is about, it can get me into a lot of trouble. Just me reacting when I... You ever say something to somebody and you go, oh God, why did I say that? Why did I put that out there? And that's the amygdala trying to protect yourself. And is that protection? Is that what we need to do? So I have to come to an understanding. And the only way I think that you can do that is through contemplation and going inside and seeing that renewal in it. It's through prayer that we learn to change the inside. And that can move us from that power position of vulnerability and solidarity. And that changes everything. Rohr went on to say, he said, true contemplation is the most subversive of activities because it undercuts the one thing that normally refuses to give way. And that's my natural individualism and my natural narcissism. Once I'm freed from our narcissism that thinks we're the center of the world and our rights and our dignity is to be defended before others' rights and dignities, we can finally live and act in peace and justice. That's hard. Peacemakers throughout history testify for the need of meditation. If we're going to live nonviolent peace, to be peacemakers and peacemaker living. In 2002, I went to Washington, D.C. with a big number of people to go talk to the National Conference of Catholic Bishops. And we were talking about the rights of the LGBTQ rights within the church. The organizers, Mel White and Gary Nixon, established this organization called Soul Force. And Soul Force was founded on Mahatma Gandhi's ideas about how do we fight for freedom, which he used in India that he was going to. What they did before we even showed up, when we signed up, they said, what we want you to do is we want you to promise to meditate every day before you come. And we want you to fast every day we come. Because what he was saying was our resistance, our demonstration need to be a spiritual act, not a political act. And that was a whole different way for me to look at it. We were told to be there a day and a half before the individual things happened, and they did some education with us. One of the things that I didn't realize that in 1921 and 1939, marchers who participated with Mahatma Gandhi seeking freedom and oppression from England's colonization and promises, that they promised for the cause of peaceful freedom. And then in 1963, modeled after Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King challenged followers to make a commitment to promise to further the efforts of justice and reconciliation from the day of oppression. Now, where I grew up, there weren't any white folks. Or there was just white folks, no black folks. And the only thing I heard about Martin Luther King was that he was a revolutionary. And not that he was really leading a spiritual renewal. Soul Force taught us that in the light of that challenge, we have to make commitment to peace and justice in our day. And they quoted scripture. They said, for without a vision, the people will perish. That's in Proverbs. Quoting King, he says, our world's not going to perish because of evil people. It'll perish because good people did nothing. Soul Force, this is from their what they said. We are all created in God's image. And we're charged to bring completion to this creation. We now need to acknowledge that we are part of this new creation. And each and every generation is duty bound to build this growth. So that humankind's ideals do not become stagnant and stationary. God's Spirit once again will hover over and create a new creation. and the face of the earth will be renewed. So here's the things they ask us to promise that we do. They ask us all to speak these out loud. They said, I will promise to meditate daily. Okay. I will promise to remember that the nonviolent movement seeks justice and reconciliation, not victory. Well, that's backwards the way I was thinking. Uh-huh. I wanted victory over some of these people. And that's not what the spiritual end of seeking peace need to be about. I want to walk and talk in a manner of love, for God is love, every day. And then I began to think how many times I badmouth somebody, or I think, God, what the hell's wrong with her? What the hell's wrong with him? Y'all never do that, do you? But that was a challenge to begin to say, you know, how do I judge other people? And that's not walking in a manner of love. Not understanding other people's history, what their story is, and seeking that first. That I'm going to perform acts of service for others. And that can be a number of different things. You know, just calling somebody up and saying, hey, how you doing? Just reaching out to somebody who may need some help. You find that. That I will. I promise to refrain from violence of fist, tongue, and heart. Well, the fist is not that big a deal for me. Mm-hmm. But the tongue and heart, they hit me pretty deep. And I got to take a look at that. That I will strive to be in good spiritual and bodily health. That we're bodily and spiritually, you know, one together. And this is one that was powerful that they said. That we will participate in governing and the governing of our churches, of our country, by contacting church leaders, representatives, and senators on issues of justice and reconciliation. That's a piece we need to speak up about. We can look at other things. It was Ellis sent a thing around about Dorothy Stang. Dorothy Stang was a powerful woman. She came from our area in that. And she went down there and she lived peace down in South America. She was outspoken in her efforts on behalf of the poor and the environment. She works for sustainable farming and responsible logging. She was responsible for 115 schools that were being built and established 35 Christian communities for over 1,200 families there. She used to carry a bag of seeds and give seeds to the people as a sign of that. And even though this is the 20th anniversary of her death, those seeds are still growing down in South America and those things are still happening. The people are still there. When she came to her death, there was two gunmen and a landowner there. And they figured that if we kill this woman, that we're going to stop the seeds from growing. And when she was faced with it, she took her Bible and began reading the Beatitudes. That ring a bell for us. Because that's what Jesus taught, that living the Beatitudes. He didn't teach the Ten Commandments. He taught the Beatitudes. And the interesting thing is she got to Matthew 5:9, and she said, blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be recognized as children of God. And then they shot her. She was a peacemaker. And the interesting too is the word peacemaker, that's the only time it's mentioned in the scriptures, is in the Beatitudes that are there. We need to take a look, and the challenge of peacemaking is not taking the whole thing that by killing other people, that gives me a right to kill. That goes all the way from capital punishment. Makes no sense to me. With that, it costs more money. You talk about waste and fraud. That we need to be taking a look at doing things differently. That we understand that it's a matter of spirituality. It's not a matter of politics. And we want to keep politics out of it. We do want to keep spirituality in it, in what we're doing. Listen to what the UN says. In the UN, they have 193 different organizations, different countries that are involved with it. What's happening downtown with NATO is a subdivision of the United Nations, and they're authorized through that. But listen to that powerful thing that they say. Together, we can take action to build a more inclusive, sustaining, and peaceful world for us all. Peace is not only a noble vision of humanity, it is a call for action. For each of us can heal divisions and embrace peace and understanding. We can call on our families and communities to do the same. Speak up, learn, practice, respect, embrace diversity, protest injustice, be the change you want to see. It's a powerful thing that they're calling us all to. And I think in many ways, this community does much of that in the ways of reaching out to each other and caring for each other and working with that. It's been brought up a number of times by our Social Justice Committee. But it is an issue that I need to keep focused on. It's a work of spirituality. It's not a work of politics. Because as you can see in our world today, politics have just done the division. Unity is found through our spirituality. What our seven churches are doing in downtown Dayton is a piece of that. It's interdenominational. It's interdenominational in all its aspects because we all are one in this creation and in our universe. I'd like to open up for any comments.